Ruth chapter 1. I know that might seem like a little odd place to start tonight as we're thinking about and continuing our Bible study. If you remember, we're trying to get our thoughts focused upon just being a church that's in one accord. And of course, we looked at that and the thought from many different angles and just trying to get settled on how to present that. Bible lets us know this, where two or three are gathered together in His name, that He's in the midst. So you think about that. If God is in the midst, then there's great power. You remember when Jesus was speaking to His church, He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." And He turned around and He said, "I give that to you. You have that power." And we have great power with God as long as we're in the center of His will. As long as He's the one that's doing the leading. And as long as He's the one working through us. So if two or three are gathered in His name and He's in the midst, then you can only imagine what it would be like for the entire body to always be together in one accord. So when a congregation is in one accord, we have biblical example after example that they had great, great power. And great things were accomplished for the Lord's name's sake. So when you think about our body, when our body, my physical body, whenever it's working in unison, it is more powerful than if it's working against itself. You know, a lame body is just simply not as powerful as maybe an athlete or a sprinter that has both of their legs. There's more power when your body is working the way it's supposed to. You know, a body that would have liver failure, we say, "Oh, they're so weak. They're so frail because their liver's not working right." They don't have the power that a good, healthy body has. And so we want to see Clear Branch be a very powerful church. We want to see God's will accomplished, and we will see Him work in great and mighty ways here. And in order to do that, I believe we'll see Him much more powerful if we will work together in one accord. So that's the reason and the purpose behind the study. And we've looked at trying to get focused because if our mind is scattered in too many directions and, you know, everybody's doing their own thing, then, you know, everybody's focused on many different things, then you can come as a preacher. I can come and I can preach, you know, God's message. But if we don't focus on it, then we're not really going to gain a lot from it. We have to focus on the message of God. So it's very important. And I hate to just beat a dead horse, but I know I've went back to Mary and Martha time and time again. That is just such a rich story. And there's so much that we can gain from studying that. But you look at Mary and Martha, and they were both great women. There's no denying that. If you were saying we're going to pick the best women in the community and we're going to crown a queen over here, I believe Mary and Martha would have been on top of the list, both of them. I believe they were both great women. I believe they were both saved women. I believe they were both great disciples of Christ. And yet we know of a time, Bible gives us reference, that there was a time when they were not in one accord. And the reason for that, you had Mary that was focused and sitting at the feet of the Lord, and you had Martha who was careful and troubled about many things. And she, you know, she was just, well, she's cumbered about much serving. Describes a lot of us. It describes every one of us at some point or another. We're all focused on many things, and we all get cumbered about much serving. But for a church, if we can allow God to reign in our thoughts, then we can be in one accord. So tonight, I want to deal with this thought, making up our mind to latch on to God's will for the long haul. If we can do that, then we're on to something. If we can just latch on, "God, whatever you have for me, I'm open, I'm open-minded, and I'm willing to accept whatever you have, and then to just latch on to it. And that's going to take having settled minds. We may be, again, we all, everyone here, we may be careful and troubled about many things. But are we willing to rein in our minds to the will of God and be obedient? Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. It would help if I got on the right page. Verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, so you know the story of their these two daughters-in-law, their husbands are dead, and Naomi's husband's dead. Verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. They lift up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lift up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So that is a beautiful statement, and we're all very well familiar with that. In fact, you've probably heard that quoted at and preached from so many times. And generally, when you hear somebody say, turn to the book of Ruth, those are the verses that we read more often than not, because it's just so rich. And you have these two daughters, and of course, they're not in one accord. They seem like it at first, but one has their mind made up, and the other does not. And this statement that she made, that's so, it's so powerful, and it's so absolute. I'm going with you. Your people's going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. And nothing but death's going to separate us till death do us part. Now, you've all heard people say things. And though it sounds good, this would not mean anything to us whatsoever if she had said those words and then got off. By the time she got halfway there, she said, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm going to go back. In fact, I don't think the Lord would even took the time to write it down for us. It just would not be that important. It would not mean anything to us if she was half-hearted with these words. If she got over to Israel and she said, I don't like these people, I'm going home. It just wouldn't mean that much to us. So we can say a lot, and we can promise the world, and we can have all the great intentions in the world, but we got to have something behind it. You can't just be, you know, one that you know what the word says. You've got to be a doer. And so, verse 18, this explains so much. Verse 18, when she saw, this is Naomi, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Wonder what she saw. She saw something in Ruth. She said, you know what? They know you should talk and hurt no more. Have you ever seen somebody had their mind made up? Whenever they do, you pretty much know it. Yep, they know you should say anything else. They've made their mind up. You ever made your mind up about something? That's different than just words. It's just different than just good intentions. Whenever we are purposed, whenever we've made up our mind to do something, Ruth is steadfastly minded. So Ruth had made up her mind that nothing else was worth worrying about except the will of God. Now she settled on the will of God. This is not just because of Naomi. This is the will of God, and she settled with that. And she had a lot of cares. If you'll notice, Naomi lets us know, you have a house. Your husband left you a house. Go back to your husband's house. And so they're established. It's not easy just to pick up and leave a house behind. That would be something that would worry me a little bit if the Lord said, I want you to get up and leave your house. And I want you to go to Timbuktu. Oh, it would worry me a little bit. That would be something that'd be on my mind. And if he said, I want you to leave your family, probably not ever going to see them anymore. That'd be a care. It'd be a worry. I want you to leave your gods, little g, your gods behind. So that lets us know she was at least a religious woman in a pagan religion, the Moabites, and they started false gods. But if that's what you were steeped in all your life, it would be hard just to leave it. But she was settled. She was steadfastly minded. So what I'm trying to get across is this. This is not just some haphazard decision to go find herself. You hear people say, I'm leaving home to go find myself. She was not just leaving home to go find herself. In fact, I believe she'd already found herself. She had found herself, and now she was trusting the Lord. If you say, well, I don't know, Brother Barrett, if that's the case, maybe she just really loved Naomi. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. Look at what Boaz saw in her. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It's evident you trust the Lord. We see that. I see that in you. You trust the Lord, and so God is blessing you because you've trusted Him. That's kind of a side note in her study. She trusts the Lord. But don't you notice what Naomi, she saw in Ruth, and that is she was steadfastly minded. Often the reason that we are not in one accord is because we're not steadfastly minded. I'm going to use a statement. I hope it don't offend you, but I think it sums us up a lot of times. A lot of times we're 30-minute minded. We're not steadfastly minded. We're 30-minute minded. And what I mean by that is, God sends His message, and we hear His message, and we begin to make some changes in our heart while we're hearing it. And, yes, God, you got me right there. Boy, you really stepped on my toes today. I need to work on that. I need to do better. I need to change this in my life. Well, I need to repent of this over here. Whenever I go home, I've made up my mind. I am going to do better. I'm going to try to read my Bible more. I'm going to study more. Whatever it is that God has convicted you while you sit on the pew, or while I'm up here in the pulpit and the Lord's giving me the message. And even though I stand here and preach and deliver it, the message is to me first. And so I've got to chew it and digest it as well. And so a lot of times, boy, that hit me right between the eyes. But there's something that happens nowadays that about the time we cross over the threshold, it's almost like a bird just comes, swoops down and takes that message and it's gone. 30-minute minded. Just long enough, boy, we had a lot of good intentions. And the Lord's really working on my heart. And I meant well, and I had a plan there at one time. And we'll get to the end of the week, and we'll look back and think, I remember last week whenever I had all these intentions, I was going to do better. And I remember when the Lord convicted my heart, and I about made up my mind I was going to try to be more faithful. I meant well, had good intentions. in order for us to be in one accord, and whether we're in one accord or not, in order to be in the center of God's will, that's what's going to bring us into being one accord. I can't be 30-minute minded. We have a very short attention span nowadays. We used to say that about kids. Boy, them kids, they have an attention span about that long. What happened to us? It describes us now. Things we used to pop a child over. Somebody need to pop me. Hey, you pay attention. Oh. Whenever you look in Scripture and you find the church in one accord, they were steadfastly minded. The will of God didn't get put on a list of troubles and cares. And I'm afraid many times that's what we're doing, is we said, well, God, he stepped on my toes tonight, and boy, I need to do better. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that message. I'm going to do something with it. Let me stick it over here on my list. And then we start stacking all these other things on top of the list, and we get careful and troubled about many things. And God's will, it gets shuffled. And then we get overbearing with so many things going on. And then we'll look and say, I really just don't know what God's will is for me, because I got this going on and I got that going on. But it hasn't always been that way. God convicted your heart. God gave you some direction back here. You just chose to put it on a shelf and then stack things on top of it. We're not as confused as we think we are. We're just busy. And we allow that to control our lives. So you say, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I have found that it's hard to just know the will of God in my life. I'm going to get real serious with you about that. First of all, are you saved? Because that's key. If you're not saved, the will of God concerning you is that you repent, that you trust Jesus and you get saved. That's God's will. And works and trying to do better and trying to turn over a new leaf. God can help you clean your life up, but you need to be saved first. After you're saved, it's important that you are scripturally baptized. Be part of the Lord's church. We work for the Lord through the church. That's how He gets glory. He gets glory through the church. World without end, amen. So we need to be baptized, and that is the will of God. Jesus set the example. It's very important that you're part of His church. Now, I'm not asking you this to be a smart aleck, but I'm just for you to think just a minute. Is Jesus the head of His church? If He is, then that means He knows what we need to be doing. And if we're part of the body, we have to listen to the head. And if all of us are listening to the head, then we can be in one accord, can't we? It's as simple as that. It's really as simple and as difficult as that. We have to be willing to surrender to the Lord's will. So if Jesus is the head, He lets us know, John chapter 14, verse 26. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. I'm just going to refer to it. But He lets us know that the Holy Spirit was sent to us and will lead us unto all righteousness. So everything we need in this life, the Holy Spirit will lead us to everything that is righteous. That is always the will of God. God's will is always righteous. And so God will lead us to His will. We can understand that. So we can have one accordness. Is that a word, or did I just make one up? Well, probably just made up a word, but you got the point. We can be in one accord if we will just listen to the Holy Spirit, let Him lead. So look at James chapter 4. Doing this study at Mars Hill as well, and I asked them about one accordness, and they said, I think that's a word. So I may have made it up, but they agreed with me. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That's the part of the verse we always quote. You hear preached from so much. I've used it so many times. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. But listen to the remainder of that verse. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So, if you're lost, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, need to be saved. But also, after that we're saved, we need to not be double-minded. Do you think the Lord knew that there would be an age of people that had a lot on their plate? Matter of fact, you probably ask that about any generation ever come along. I don't know that there's ever been one that didn't have a lot on the plate, at least spiritually, in living life. Oh, do you think he understood that there would be people that get saved but want to hang on to the world? Of course he did. And so he lets us know, you've got to purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Without offense, let's let that speak to our heart as it needs to. If there's a need to purify our hearts so that we can get our minds reined in, let's be willing to do so. So, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I got so much on my mind. Okay, well, let's look at the heart just a minute. What's got a hold of your heart? We've got to purify our heart so that our mind can be reined in. Let's be willing to do that. Again, James chapter 1, verse 8. This is another verse you can just write down, but you know that verse. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We live in a very unstable time. This world is unstable. It's like a ticking time bomb ready to go off. But you know what the world's doing. Whether they know it or not, they're looking to us. Because we're the light of the world, and they're in the dark. So I shouldn't look at the world and expect them to figure everything out. They don't know. They're looking to us. And then they look to us, and many times we're double-minded, and we're unstable as well. Remember Jacob said to his son, called him to the bedside. Well, those are always very, very sobering moments whenever you have one of what we call deathbed moments. And your grandma will call you to the side, and I want to make sure you call the baby's name so-and-so, and then you obligated for life. And always very, very serious about those kind of things. And Jacob calls his sons in there, and son, you're this and you're this. And he comes to one, he says, you're as unstable as water. Thanks, Dad. But it was the truth. It was the truth. And that describes us a lot of times if we're not careful. We're as unstable as water. We need to be grounded, and we need to know what we believe. And the more that we study God's Word, the more grounded we become. So he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We started back in Acts chapter 2 with this study. And there we have an example of the church that continued steadfastly. And they continued daily in one accord. Think about that. God's church daily in one accord. How in the world could that happen? How could you have a large body of people and every one of them be on the same page? It's because they had something common. And that's what mattered. That was the one thing that mattered. It mattered. Now, Scripture lets us know this. We're talking about one accord. Let me get a picture out of our mind. That does not mean that every single one of us is going to have the exact same thought. It does not mean every single one of us is going to be doing the exact same thing. But the church can be in one accord. How is that, Brother Brown? Well, not everybody's the eye, or where would be the smelling? We're not all the same part of the body, but just give you an idea. Let's say that I decide, and this is just on my own, carnally, I decide that I need a new gun. That's the direction I'm going. I need a new gun. And so I need to go down to Academy and pick me out a new gun. And so that's the direction that my mind says, let's go. But you know what? My mind can't get there by itself. So I have to stand up on my feet. My feet get me to the door. And I get in the car. And hands grab the steering wheel. And my eyes are looking straight forward. Or if they don't, I'll run off in the ditch. And I get there, and these hands, they pick up that gun. But you know, them hands need some elbows. They work a lot better with elbows. I mean, it's hard. It'd be hard to do anything with a gun if I didn't have them elbows. And thank the Lord for them fingers. Hands not worth an awful lot if you don't have fingers. I mean, they're worth something. I'm not saying I'd get rid of them, but they need fingers, and that opposable thumb, man, it makes it work so much better. If I didn't have that thumb, I'd be handicapped. I could still function, still get along, but I need that thumb. It's important. Every part of the body's doing something a little bit different. But if it's working in unity, it all works together to get me there to take care of the goal. I purchased a gun. All right, if God has a will for us, you go to work, the Lord has something for you to do. You go to work, the Lord has something for you to do. And I go to town, and the Lord's got something for me to do. We're all focused on His will. We're in one accord, doing exactly what God wants us to do. God can help us be just as efficient as a body that is working in unison without handicap. He can help us. But we have to be willing to surrender and just be steadfastly minded. I've got to make my mind up. Old Daniel, he purposed in his heart. He had a lot of things to worry about, didn't he? A lot of cares going on. I mean, they pulled him out of his hometown, and now he's captivity in Babylon, and they changed his name, old Belshazzar, and that's one of their gods, their false gods, and they tell him he's got to present himself a certain way, and he's got to talk his new language, and he's got to learn all these different, he's got to be able to stand before the king, present himself as royalty. The way the Babylonians say do it. You got to eat this meat that they put on your plate. And that was against the will of God. And the Bible says he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I believe he's willing to take that to the death. I'm not going to do it. I'll die before I eat it. But he did it, and he let God lead, and God blessed. And God can bless us even in troubled times as well. But he had purposed his heart. I want to encourage you tonight that we do just that. As God's people, as his church, we get our mind on the will of God and not so much focused on all the other things. You do your part and I do my part, and this body works together, and it'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing. I also want to say this in closing. Thank you for praying for me. As I study, I know that you're praying for me. And as I study this study, I'm excited as I receive his leadership in getting it together. And I'll tell you this tonight. I've been telling you which way we're going to go, but I'm not going to tell you tonight because I'm not settled on it. I got two different thoughts. So think about that. I don't want to give us two different thoughts. We need one. So you pray for me. Ask for a song.